The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So anybody who I think does meditation has to sooner or later become wise about their thinking. And one of the ways, one of the consequences of becoming wise, hopefully, is to become friendly towards your thinking. You know, to look at it kindly or sympathetically or compassionately, or as opposed to the adversarial relationship, as opposed to being upset with it or angry with it. And it's easy to be upset or aversive towards our thinking. One reason is that thinking is a force that takes us away from the present moment. And so we want to be present. That seems to be what we're struggling against. Other reasons is that sometimes our thinking is not necessarily to our best interest, what we're thinking about. Sometimes our thinking is not particularly praiseworthy. And so some people are bothered by what they think. They have, you know, maybe a lot of judgments, a lot of anger, a lot of strange fantasies, a lot of, you know, it could be anything. And so, you know, it's difficult to contend with these inner voices, inner ideas that keep bubbling up, and just want to be free of it. There's enough of this, enough of these kinds of messages. So to hear it, to be friendly towards it, sounds like maybe you're supposed to accept it too much and just let it be. What it means to me to be friendly towards them is to have a kind relationship to it, not to be angry or upset. It means not being bothered by it, but it also means not being pushed around by your thoughts, and to be able to see a thought as a thought, to see it clearly for what it is. And part of the challenge around thinking is the way in which thinking can often camouflage itself. It's kind of like thinking is built sometimes with its own camouflage, so it can't be seen. It's like a black hole. The theory of a black hole is that black holes have this tremendous gravitational force, so any light that goes into the black hole doesn't come out. So you can't see the black hole because you need the light bouncing out to see it. So thinking can be like a black hole. Our awareness goes into it and gets trapped there and doesn't come out, so we don't even know we're thinking. And so it's interesting to study that phenomena, the gravitational pull that keeps us kind of absorbed in thinking, the tremendous attraction that we have to thinking. It's so strong that I think it qualifies to call it an addiction. Some people, certainly not any of you, but I don't want to talk for everybody here, but there are such people in the world who have, their way that they relate to thinking really qualifies as addiction. More addicted to that than they are to any other addiction, because they're so caught up in their thinking, focusing on it, lost in it, involved in it. And the question is why? What is that force that keeps us so glued to thinking? What is the attraction? What's the gravitational pull that keeps us so connected? Why so interested? Why fascinated with it? Why do we give so much authority to the inner voices, the inner ideas that bubble up? And why do they seem so incredibly important? And I don't want to answer it for any of you. I think that's really a task for you to look. But if you look into that, just the very investigation of it is doing something radical for your mind. The investigation of asking the question, why am I so attracted to my thoughts, means that while you're asking that question, looking into it, you stepped back, and you're doing something very different than how the mind normally operates. I think for many people who don't have a practice, the mind spins along for a lifetime without ever being questioned, without ever stepping back and looking at the nature of how the mind works itself. And once you step back and investigate what's actually going on here with my thinking and all that, then it's a whole different ecology, really. It's a whole different ecosystem. It's a whole different event. And so in this practice, we step back in a sense and say, what's really happening here? And why am I so interested? Or what's the attraction that goes on? And one of the interesting ways of exploring that is to explore what's the emotion or the feelings that seem to be intimately connected to that interest, fascination we have, the pull we have to keep coming back and thinking and thinking and thinking. And often there's an emotional glue that keeps it connected. It's not uncommon for it to be a sense of insecurity or fear, and we're trying to make ourselves safer. And if we just think ourselves into a safe solution, think ourselves into the right understanding, then we'll be safe. And so we're always trying to figure things out. Or we're trying to comfort ourselves. And so it's a tremendous desire to be comfortable or have pleasure that can be very strong, that is the glue. Sometimes the glue has to do with issues of self, of pride or conceit, that trying to prove ourselves or trying to disprove ourselves, conceit can also take the form of trying to put ourselves down and make ourselves kind of be the victim or make ourselves be kind of someone who's, you know, unworthy. Or it can be kind of trying to pump ourselves up. So how does a sense of self in trying to create, destroy, negotiate a sense of self, self-identity, create the glue that keeps us constantly engaged with our thinking? So to actually study, what is the glue? What keeps us going? Is a fascinating exploration. And then to appreciate how strong that addiction is. It isn't just the fact that we're thinking, but it's a tremendous power of thinking, or the pull into the world of thinking, which is interesting, separate from whatever we're thinking about. And then how do we work with that pull? How do we not allow ourselves to be pulled in or so addicted to our thinking? And one of the very, I think, interesting things to do is to use thinking to overcome the addiction to thinking. And the way to do that is you find yourself thinking about something, and you say, in a little bit emphatic inner voice kind of way, you say, I'm thinking about lunch. If you're obsessing about lunch, right now, here's a person thinking about lunch. This is thinking about lunch. And you kind of just say that sentence until that's, you know, say it strongly, maybe repeatedly, until saying that sentence seems stronger, or is more, you know, louder or stronger or more kind of where you're rooted than the actual thoughts you have about lunch. If the obsession about lunch is so strong, just simply, thinking, come back to breath. Thinking doesn't really work. You have to kind of like plant yourself to both 2 feet, take a stand, and say, I'm thinking about lunch. That's what's really going on. Like a real clear, full, embodied acknowledgement. This is what's happening. And that can somehow dislodge the glue, or to kind of interrupt the gravitational force, keep us from being mired in that kind of thinking. A milder form of it is simply to use the mental noting. And so rather than say, I'm thinking about lunch, this is what thinking about lunch is about, it's just simply use a label, thinking, or planning, menu planning, whatever it might be, or anticipating. Sometimes if it's, you know, that's enough to kind of dislodge the strong connection. And what's interesting, I think one of the interesting things around thinking is that many people are trying to stop thinking, get rid of the thinking, quieter thinking, not be so obsessive about their thinking. And it's not the thinking which is the problem, but it's the force that keeps us connected to thinking. It's the addiction, it's the attraction, it's the gravitational pull. It's the way that we're feeding the thinking. And so it's interesting to not so much focus on the content of your thought, but really try to explore, feel your way into that, the intermediary between you and the particular thoughts you have, what I'm calling the gravitational force or the addiction or the power or the glue, and get a sense of what it's like, how strong it is. And sometimes you can feel the strength of it, the power of it as it churns away. And sometimes it can actually feel like a force within us, an impulse within us that really has no content. It's just a force. Maybe sometimes a sense of anxiety, or some feeling unsettled, or feeling worried about something, or that's going on. sometimes I've imagined that an anthropologist from Mars comes to visit the Earth, and they have this, they're really small, these Martians, really, really teeny. So they kind of enter into our bloodstream or whatever, and they set themselves up their field office to do their field study, in my thinking brain, inside. And what it would be like, what would they report? What would it be field notes like if they were just kind of this, they don't have any judgment that this person's thinking. They're just fascinated. Wow, this is what it's like for a human being to be thinking. And they're taking down field notes. And so sometimes I imagine I'm my own Martian anthropologist, and taking field notes. And that kind of helps dislodge me from being so identified with the thoughts, believing the thoughts, giving them so much authority. But to the fact, this is what it's like. This is interesting. It's phenomenal. This is interesting. 5 billion years of evolution. It's come to this, a person thinking about lunch. Wow, amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing that somehow in the universe, these creatures have these phenomenally complex pattern of thinking. It's just like, it's really a miracle that this should operate. It's just as much a miracle that it's a bad thought as it's a good thought. It's just, wow, look, this thing operates. For the Martian anthropologist, it's all just amazing. And so I hope that you can learn to be your own anthropologist and step back and see your thinking for what it is and not invest as much authority and meaning into it. Thinking is beautiful and profound thing to do, but it's also very profound and meaningful to have the ability to step away from it and not be in its grip. May you be free of the grip of thinking. Thank you.